Welcome to Hype, episode 103. This is a normal episode with myself, Selena, Pam, and Marima. Oh my god!
Hey!
Hi!
It's been 95 years. It's been a long time.
Hi, I did my waiting.
So did I without you guys. It was really sad.
You did.
Oh, that's
you
true.
Did. Well done, Pam, for holding up the fort. That's been amazing. Of course, we were just on a show together the other day, so it's not like we're not doing stuff.
Not all of us, episode? But like what?
No. Pam. And I just did a Cursed Child special, so lots of different stuff. But this is actually like an actual hype, which is amazing. We're going to talk about fandom news and TV shows and how we hype and all that, you know, good old reliable stuff. I'm very excited.
It's a miracle.
It is. It's a miracle. Oh, I still need to watch that. So before we get into the episode, as always, the contact information if you want to let us know what you think about this episode, any of the news, you have any suggestions for us, specials you want us to do, you can do that either by tweeting us at HypableHype. You can find us on Hypable.com, which is HYPABLE.com. You can email us, hype@Hypable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. I am very proud of our Tumblr.
It's awesome.
It's not like our Instagram. There's actually stuff on it.
Sorry, who was just in London and didn't upload a single thing to Instagram?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving along swiftly and awkwardly into how we hype, let's talk about speaking of London. We've all done and seen exciting stuff, and speaking of London, I just came back last week from a trip where I got to meet up with a bunch of hypeable people, and we saw this little thing called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. If you want mine, Katie and Danya's spoiler-free reactions, you can actually listen to the podcast that went up in the feed earlier this week, which is the spoiler-free Cursed Child review. Very straightforward. And we've actually heard back from a couple of people now saying thank you for staying spoiler-free, which is a relief, because the episode is like an hour and a half long, and after we were like, how the hell did we talk for that long without giving anything away? But apparently people are satisfied that it's not spoilery, so that should make it safe for you to listen if you were, like, unsure.
Did you call it Wormtaily?
We're going to do a spoiler one.
Oh, there you go.
We're saving it for that one. So that was all that drama, too. I know I was, like, going to talk about it, but I don't think I won't be, like, I won't bother talking about it.
I'm sure people saw it anyway.
I'm sure people saw it.
Did you have fun at the Cursed Child?
We had a lot of fun. Just seeing, because it was Andrew was there and Richard was there, and Kyle, obviously, from Hype, I got to hang out. Me and Kyle went to the Natural History Museum and saw some dinosaur bones, so that was a lot of fun. Dinosaur fandom. Just really fun. I don't get to see people in person very often. Well, people from Hypable, I do see other people in person. So it's like a face.
You're not the bubble girl.
No. So how about I hear a little bit about what you guys have been up to as well. I know you've both seen the Tony Awards, and I'm curious what you thought.
Oh, so fun. Well, I didn't watch the whole thing because, like, Australia, but I watched a lot of it. I thought James Corden did a really good job. I don't know what you thought, Pam. I assume you watched the whole thing all the way through.
I did watch the whole thing all the way through. It was really good. I think that you're right. He did a wonderful job hosting, and it was such a nice full circle moment for him as just a person. Like, I can only imagine how fulfilling it must have been, because of course, like, he started on the stage with the History Boys. He won a Tony for two governors. I know. He won a Tony for two governors, and now he's, like, hosting it, and he just looks like he had so much fun with it. The opening number was amazing. I'm sure you saw that, right?
Yes. The opening number was incredible. And the little bit before it where they changed the Hamilton lyrics was also hilarious, mostly because there was a History Boys shout out in there, and I was like,
yes.
My fave, Pam will feel this.
Yes, so it was really funny because my brother is like, he hasn't experienced the magic of Hamilton in like soundtrack form. Obviously, like we can't see it out here in San Francisco yet, but I think that he's like starting to hop on the bandwagon to the point where like the main, like the first song, Alexander Hamilton, is like, he's like seen so many performances that as soon as it starts up, he like kind of gets a little excited but tries to hide it. So he really thought that like Leslie Odom Jr. was going to come out and like start it off, and then they like switched the lyrics, and he was like, damn it, I've been practicing so I could turn to you and be like, what's your name, man? And I was like, it's too bad. You should have done this before the Grammys.
Yeah, true.
So that. He was kind of bummed out about that. But it was so good. And I think it was like such a fun way to do it. And Hamilton had a big night. So,
yeah. And also, it was like the first time ever, I think, that all of the lead actor and actress awards were won by people of color, which was amazing. Definitely like a testament to the shows that are on right now. Obviously, like Hamilton is a huge part of that. But also The Color Purple, and like it was a really good, the Tonys are just a really nice award show. Like everyone's just really happy and supportive, and they're really fun. And I think like it's been a pretty rough week, so that was kind of needed for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like the timing of it obviously was awful, but it was also people, as you said, people really needed it, and they were really good. You know, Lin-Manuel's tribute was beautiful, and just all of that stuff. Yeah. So, what else, Merima? Once again, I'm hoping, really, really hoping that you like this movie that you saw, because I have high hopes for this one.
Oh, in our ongoing series of Merima reviews things, so Selena goes and watches them. Yes, I had not seen Now You See Me, but I went to a screening of Now You See Me 2, and it was amazing. I have since seen Now You See Me, and number 2 is a lot better.
Okay,
yeah, it was really, really fun. I really love like just magic and like magicians, not wizard magic, like, you know, real magic. And Now You See Me Too is just like one of these movies that the cast is so ridiculous that I just thought, how did they possibly make this? And I thought that especially after seeing the first one, which is terrible. But this one has Daniel Radcliffe in it, and it has Jesse Eisenberg and Mark Ruffalo and Lizzie Kaplan. It's just so much fun. Very entertaining. Lots of really good moments, like lots of surprises. And yeah, I would definitely recommend it. And you know what? I had not seen the first one, and like that was kind of a fun way to watch this. I think I wrote on Twitter, I was playing a fun game with myself of like, oh, is this a referencing something from the first movie, or does this bit just not make any sense? And you know, it was like half and half. So that was good. But yeah, you should see it.
Great. Well, I'm planning to anyway, but I'm glad it has Merima's stamp of approval.
Yeah, I'm like a cursed child. But anyway,
yeah.
That's cool. The play that I have not seen.
Yes, yeah. Everyone is making up opinions about the plot, and I understand why. And I can talk about the brilliant stage play all I want, but for people that probably won't get to see that, I say, make all the fun you want.
Well, we should say like there's not going to be any spoilers on this episode, so people don't have to worry about that. But like Pam is not spoiled, right?
I'm
Pam?
Miraculously, you guys, considering that I, you know, my full-time job is also writing about entertainment news, I have not been spoiled yet.
Yeah, but so I have like, been totally spoiled.
But you asked for it. Yeah.
No. I've been a bit sick, which is why I haven't been on hype, and I was having a bit of a rough week, so Selena sent me the plot of The Cursed Child in order to cheer me up. And let's say, it definitely worked. It definitely worked.
That's amazing. <yeah. laughs>
Very pleased. I had a ticket, as people may know. I did have a ticket, and I wasn't able to go to London to use it. And quite pleased that I did not purchase that airfare.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate because the experience is so good.
I'm very intrigued about the script now, about how that's too. Going to work. So that will be fun when that comes out. But Pam's holding out till then. So like,
yes,
go Pam, go. I hate it though, because I kind of go through phases where like I want to be spoiled, but I don't.
No,
like,
don't
now
do it.
I've gone so far, and also, but you know what really upsets me, like, now that I haven't seen it, like, and this might be because, like, so many, because we work on Hypeable, like, it feels like all of our friends have seen it, but it's just one of those things where it's like, Well, this is the first time that, like, not every Harry Potter fan is in on this thing,
yes.
like, on this story.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's, like,
and it sucks.
It sucks so hard because, like, the big part about the Harry Potter fandom, like, was that you all read it together and everybody was able to discuss it around the same mm-hmm. time because, and then, like, now you have people that, like me, that have to wait 50, well, now it's, like, 40 some odd days, but when it came out, like, 50 some odd days, and it's just a weird, like, it's just weird
well,
to me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we were talking about that a little bit on the special, too, that the more we think about it, like, obviously, we got to see it, and that's great. And they're all like, you know, J.K. Rowling's obviously like, keep the secrets. And if you don't, it's like, oh, you know, she hates you now. But that's like, I mean, if that's a nice thought, but that it just goes against like the elitism of, oh, well, you have to like, you know, if you really want to see it, you would be able to. And if you, you know, you have to wait until the script book. And if you, like, even seek out spoilers, it's like people are like, how dare you? Because you should wait till you read the script. And I just, it just doesn't, it's not the way to consume a Harry Potter story. And I think for us who are fans, like, that's why you want to know. Because most people just want to know what happens to Harry and everyone.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that's what they want to know. Because if they're not going to see the play, they just want to know, and I think they should be able to know. I think it's a very strange situation
yeah.
for everyone.
Harry Potter should not be exclusive, so mm-hmm. it's like the whole, it was weird. I do remember us talking about it before it, you know, went into previews and everything, but it's like different talking about it now, knowing that like there's this thing out there that is being marketed
yeah.
as the eighth story that exists
yeah.
in the world, and like, mm-hmm. you know, I think I know what happens. It could all be an elaborate ruse. I'm pretty sure I know what happens, like, you know, but I kind of
yeah.
don't know at the same time, because you can't get the full experience without being there. And
mm-hmm.
like, the more I think about it, the more I think this was just such a weird choice,
yeah.
not only in terms of plot, but just in terms of medium. I just think like it's such a weird,
in terms of calling it
choice,
the story, and
yeah.
making it so inaccessible. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I agree.
It kind of goes against everything that like Harry Potter has meant to so many people, and
mm-hmm.
And I think that combined with like what people are hearing about what it's about and everything is making a lot of people kind of offside, and I totally understand that. And yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It, like, I don't know. It's put me in a weird
exactly.
place.
Same.
Exactly. Me too. And I think that's like why we were, before the show, we were all like, yeah, keep the secrets. Oh my God. And then as soon as we'd seen, we were like, wait, this is weird. We want to talk about this. We want to share it with everyone. Why hasn't, what does everyone not know yet? It was a really weird shift, you know?
Right. And it's just like, the thing is too, is like, we live it, like, this would have worked in like when Deathly Hallows came out, no problem, because we didn't have things like Twitter. Facebook wasn't like as big as it is now. But it's impossible to think that like nobody's going to talk about this in an age where we share everything.
Yeah.
Right. And then
yeah, it is.
That's
also
the whole thing.
I mean, but like, I know we're not getting into this, but there is a huge difference between like walking up to someone and being like, Snape killed Dumbledore, and someone saying, I desperately want to know what happens in this, and you know, can you please tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a different, if fans like decide that, exactly what you said, Selena, they know they're not going to get a chance to go and see it, maybe they want to hear someone describe like kind of how the impact of it, seeing it versus just like reading
yeah.
about it in the script or whatever, like that's totally a valid choice that they could make. Doesn't make you, like, I wanted to know because I was in a bad mood, but most people wanted to know because, like, does it make you a bad Harry Potter fan at all? Does it make you a bad fan to think, like, I just want to know what happens? And I don't
exactly.
like, the thing that has annoyed me the most is seeing other fans online, like, kind of shaming people for that and being
yeah.
like, oh, well, like Joe
mm-hmm.
said, keep a secret. So, you know, how dare you want to know this? And it's like, you need to step back. If you
totally
have decided
agree.
That you don't want to, you don't want to know, like, if you're like Pam, you're like, I'm going to wait it out, I'm going to see, that's totally fine. And if you're like me and you want to know, that's also fine. That's like both perfectly valid
right.
ways of like
right.
experiencing this.
But the thing is too, is like people, like you could go out and like I'm going to try my best not to get spoiled because I'd like to experience it in book form and whatever. But like, I know as soon as the big thing is revealed, I'm just not going to care and I'll just read everything.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
yeah,
like you don't
exactly.
know why people know what they know, and it's unfair of you to judge somebody who like either seeks it out themselves or decides to seek it out after they've been spoiled on something bigger.
Yeah.
So it's like, anyway,
we've been talking about this for so long. I don't know why Pam and I went on the spoiler-free show.
I know. I mean, basically.
We've done it like MuggleCast.
Right.
We can be on Andrew.
I mean, I'll just wait for my invite to the spoiler-filled show because as someone who knows everything that happened, obviously I should be there. I didn't know I had so many feelings about this. I might need to write something about it.
Maybe you should. I was thinking we need to do like a weekly update now on whether Pam has
been
spoiler free.
And then like I can give you my
Gossip Girl. What's she up to?
I can give you my weekly feels because like I just like the more and more I think about it, the more and more I realize that I'm just like it's an unsettling feeling. Knowing that I'm like now excluded from this thing that was supposed to be inclusive. So it's very odd, but
Anyway,
we talk about that too on the Cursed Child spoiler-free special. So if you're like, and that's, we hope that people out there like that are like desperate for spoilers can listen to that, and then that'll be enough. So let us know if you do decide to stay spoiler-free and how that's going. So finally, how we have, I know we want to move on, but if you do just want to really briefly, Pam, talk about The Martian DVD, maybe like 2 seconds.
Yeah, 2 seconds. I was just going to say, if you like The Martian like we all did, sorry, Miriam, I know this DVD hasn't come out for a while. But it does have a lot of really cool features. I highly recommend specifically the audio commentary. I'm a sucker for audio commentaries. So they've got the director Ridley Scott on there, Drew Goddard, who was the writer and exec producer on the movie, and Andy Weir, who was the author of the book. So,
damn it, anyway. Pam.
Did I spoil you?
Oh, why is it not out here yet?
Audio commentary is great, so highly recommend picking that up. It's out in the United States already, and if you're like Mirima, you'll have to wait till August to get it in Australia.
I think I have to wait too.
That's
very annoying. Yeah. Oh well. We always have to wait. So here's something else we have to wait for. Moving into the news, you know, wait for it. I know the joke now, guys. I feel so included. So our first news story is a big one.
Yeah, this is like a two-parter, you guys. Hamilton fans, I'm sure a lot of you are going into mourning because Lin-Manuel Miranda has officially announced that he will be stepping down from the role beginning in July. So we do know who his successor is going to be, and it's going to be Javier Munoz. So he'll be taking over beginning on July 11th.
This is good news, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that this is great. It's great for Lin because he gets to, I feel like, I'm sure he's felt like he's done all he can now with the project, although he has said in previous interviews that, like, he's going to play Hamilton for the rest of his days because, you know, he'll get old and he'll maybe want to come back and do like a special, you know, performance or two or whatever. But it is nice because, you know, he's played this role for like over a year now, and it's time to pass the baton. So I think it'll be great. And I know that Hamilton fans will probably embrace Javier as much as they have embraced Lin. So it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, because I was going to say, when the news first broke he was leaving, I know Donya said, oh, I really hope it's this guy because he's already the understudy.
And he is.
He worked with Lin on In the Heights and stuff. So I think this is like best case scenario.
It is,
I mean, I think it was kind of always going to be him. Like, he's already doing one show a week, so he's sort of been in training the whole time. And he also, like, they worked together in The Heights when he kind of shadowed the same role. It's like more than being just an understudy. He kind of learns it like at the same time and has input into the role and everything. So, you know, unless anything went totally wrong, this is probably what was going to happen. But it's still really good news, obviously, for everyone. And people should be like super excited about this. Although I do understand people who bought their tickets so far in advance who are like, no, I'm seeing it up for July. But you never know. Maybe you'll see one of the performances that Lin decides to just like pop up and reprise.
Right. He said there was this interview that he did with Entertainment Weekly where he said, I want it to get to the point where people ask me, Lin, when will you stop being Hamilton? Which I thought was amazing. Yeah, I think that's great. But you're right. I think at best, this is like bittersweet. It's always sad when like original Broadway cast members leave a production. But if anybody has to be his successor, Javier is a great choice. And I think that people that have, you know, if you happen to have been like one of the elite people that has seen this play and you've seen it with him, write in and let us know what you thought, because you know, we hear so much about Lynn's portrayal. So we'd love to hear what you thought if you've seen it with Javier. Mm-hmm. So in a little bit more Hamilton news, a lot of us cannot be in the room where it happens. You see, I know my jokes too.
Yes, you do.
But the good news is that they are going to be filming Hamilton in stage form with Lynn before he leaves. Two times.
Oh my God.
I know. And so this is very interesting because they have not announced what they're going to do with this footage. But a lot of people are speculating that because they're going to do a PBS documentary in October, that a lot of this might be used in that. But of course, everybody's kind of hoping that they end up releasing this to the masses intact, because it would be nice for, you know, everybody to be able to enjoy the original Broadway cast portraying these characters that they have, they've made a dent on pop culture. So this is great to hear. And Lynn had a lot of tweets about this. He even said himself, "What are we going to do with that footage? No idea. Throwing it in a vault at Gringotts for a bit, probably, but we're getting it." So that's pretty cool. If you want to read everything else that he had to say, head over to HiBubble.com. We've got all his tweets embedded in this article. And I guess now we wait and see what comes of this, but it is exciting that they're doing it.
Yeah, I feel like it's worth noting that I think every Broadway show has to be filmed for posterity, like, and it gets put in a library. I don't know which library it goes in. They get held somewhere. So they were going to have to film it at some point anyway, but it's obviously exciting that they're doing it with
public.
Like, it's obviously exciting, first of all, that they're doing it with the original cast, but also, like, to announce it in this way, it does imply, like, at some point they're going to release it. And there is, like, precedence for that. Like, they have, that has happened with other shows. Doesn't happen with every show, but there's obviously a market for this. But at the same time, I don't think we're going to see it for a while, because they're going to want to get the, like, touring costs and everything up and running and, you know, give people an incentive to go and spend, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, not just to buy, like, a $30 DVD. So,
I mean, I don't know if you guys are, like, it might be different. I think that here, because, you know, like, all of the cities, like, everybody knows kind of where it's going. And so every time I turn on the TV, I feel like I see an ad for, like, the upcoming year of theater that's coming to San Francisco. And they're not just marketing as, like, get your seats for Hamilton. It's like, buy your season pass for the theater and give us hundreds of dollars. Because if you don't, you will not get to see this show, which is a little disheartening. Jesus. If you just maybe wanted to see Hamilton.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've announced, I think, that it's, like, it's coming to Australia at some point, but, like, everything comes to Australia at some point. That doesn't mean it's not going to be till, like, 20. If we're still in, like, the 20, like, teens, those years, that would be very exciting. Put it that way.
Yeah, so, well, just wait until it comes to Denmark.
I was going to say, so, like,
it's going to come to Denmark.
There are definitely people who would be very excited for the release of this DVD.
I'm going to tell you guys, like, I'm going to predict they're going to announce Hamilton in space before it comes to Denmark. Like, I am convinced.
You know what? I had this dream, actually, that Hamilton, like, this is so off topic, you guys, that there was a renegade like theater group that, like, put on a production of Hamilton in the dead of night. Obviously, like, nobody has the rights to do this, but they, like, made all these flyers and you had to, like, solve the riddle to figure out what the heck this show was. And then you went, and it was kind of like what they did with the Spring Awakening revival, where, like, their whole twist was that they had, like, you know, deaf people doing it too, so, like, all the choreography was, like, intermingled and there was double the cast and it was crazy. And this was all happening while I was sleeping.
So, I think Pam says it's a dream, but, like, she just doesn't want to get people in trouble, and this really happened.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
totally. Owen. So all right. Well, keeping with the musical news for now, Wicked fans might be dancing through life. See, I can make references too about some news that we had just yesterday, I think. We finally have a date for the Wicked movie musical. It's going to be December 2019, and we have a director, Stephen Daldry, who people are, I think, pretty excited about. He directed Billy Elliot and The Reader, which obviously, like, were amazing, but he's also won a Tony for directing Billy Elliot on stage, so, like, he knows what's up. Most importantly, this means we'll probably be getting some casting news very soon.
I mean, 2019 is a long way off.
It is a long way
But
off,
yeah,
but like
it's
they've been
exciting.
talking about it for so long and without any like firm details. So this is actually the start of it's really happening. It's like the Wonder Woman effect, you know? They're
You guys
telling us
want
things. That means it's less likely to not happen.
You know
Yeah,
what's
true.
really funny is like every once in a while when I'm in LA, I end up going to the NBC Universal lot, and this is relevant because Universal is the production company behind this. For the past, like I've been going consecutively like 2 years, they've literally had a sound stage like with the Wicked poster up, and that's like the one poster that has not
Oh,
changed in
interesting.
the 2 years that I've
Really?
been there. Yeah, so I've just been kind of like waiting to see what they were going to do with this because it's like it's so odd, obviously, like you know, it hadn't really been tied to anything before. So it is interesting that they're finally gonna do something with it. And it happens to be Universal that still has the rights because, as we know, a lot of things change over the course of like, you know, the years that people greenlight productions and stuff like that. But it is interesting to know that they've clearly been banking on this for a while because that is the one poster that I see every time I drive on the lot because it's the first thing you see when you go towards like the parking lot and stuff. It's just so
Nice.
funny to me. So
Yeah.
it's a little
So I
inside
mean,
info.
I don't know why it's going to be so late. It doesn't need that much like pre-production, you know, but I guess people's schedules and just where they want to set it up in their releases and everything. So we will keep an eye on it, but I mean, I'm sure they'll be announcing Wicked starring Lea Michele like any day now.
I was gonna
I really
say,
don't want
wasn't she
her.
rumored for like a while back when this
Oh, she's
first
been rumored
broke?
since when this was being rumored. Yeah. I really don't
Oh
want
my
her.
God. I mean, I could see that would make the Glee connection is obvious. So I mean, that would be, okay, and she is a Broadway star. Okay, I take back my no, that was harsh. But I was just Idina Menzel. No, it's not gonna be her. But I feel like so few people who aren't her are gonna make me excited for this.
Well, she
Yeah,
still looks
anyway,
pretty
guess we'll
good.
see.
You know,
She does.
she
She
looks
does.
great. You
I
never
think
know.
Lea
She
Michele
does.
is a
And even
little
if she was
young.
90, I'd want her to do
Yeah.
You know what would be really
Yeah.
cute is if they cast like younger people for like the Glinda and Alphabet School Days, and then
Oh,
they
the
did
school
like
time?
Kristen Chenoweth
Yes.
and Idina Menzel to come back for like for good
Oh,
that
they
final
so
season, and
won't do
everybody
it.
would just cry
Yes.
and like it would be magical and beautiful and.
Yeah. They won't do
Yeah.
it, but it'd be great. I don't care as long as either Aaron Tveit or Jeremy Jordan plays Fiero. Like, as long as it's one of
All
them,
in.
I just don't even care for the rest of it. But I did see, I think it was Megan Hilty people were saying for Glinda a little while ago.
Oh,
And
that would
I
be
would really
okay.
like that. I love her. And she's
I love
probably
her
a
too.
little closer to the age now. But yes, yeah, so there'll be the rumors will be circulating. So we will see.
Yes.
We're going to continue on with theater hype
Yes, this
in
is
some more
great.
Cursed Child news. It sounds like we may be getting a Cursed Child tour. This is, of course, something that fans have been speculating about since the play was announced. But J.K. Rowling took it one step further over the weekend when she basically promised that all the fans would get to see it and that the show would tour
Oh my God, I'm so mad
because you
about
could have
this
just waited for
news.
it to come to Denmark.
No. I'm sorry, I'll let you talk
Oh no, it's just like
first.
it's so funny because like nobody else has announced it, but she's taken it upon herself to say, and I quote, "If demand is there, remember it's still in preview stages. It will run for a long time and tour. You'll see it." So there you go.
And quote me, do I have to?
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel, but I wrote this up and I got some flag in the comments by someone else named Selena. Because the thing is, I know I've seen it. I know this is like sounds super disingenuous, but I paid £20 for my ticket, and the only reason I could go was because we all ordered it for Hypeable. Because she was responding to this for someone who said, well, of course we're gonna look up spoilers because a lot of us are never gonna see it. And you know, she's been on her whole Wormtail kick. It's not just Hypeable. It's also just general people posting and reading spoilers. She's been calling them out, and she's been like that disappointed mom, like, oh, I thought the Harry Potter fandom was better than this. And then she comes out with this saying, I'm sorry, all my frustration is coming out now. She's like, oh no, it's going on tour, like you will see it. And it comes back to that whole thing again, as though she assumes that if you're a real big Harry Potter fan, you will find a way to see it. And it's like, look, it's in London for the next like 3 years, and not even everyone who lives in London who wants to see it will be able to see it. You know, like, availability, you were just saying about Hamilton and when it's coming to San Francisco, and ticket prices and the prices of expenses of going.
That's the
and
whole all thing. Those things.
Like, theater is exclusive. That's kind of the problem.
It is exclusive. And her saying you will see it as though she truly believes that all Harry Potter fans will be able to see this if this goes on some like 10 country tour or whatever. It's just extremely, I can't even, like, what the hell? Like, unless she is hinting that it's being filmed. Like, if in that case, great. Then, you know, I'm that's great. Forget everything I just said. But if she's not, if she really thinks that all Harry Potter fans who want to go see it will be able to, if she sends it on a tour, no.
That's right. True.
And, no way. And that's for, not Harry Potter. For context, like, I had a ticket to the exact same shows that Selena went to, and mine was £90.
So was mine.
For a preview ticket, plus an airfare from Australia, plus like accommodation in London. Even if you are in London, like, you don't necessarily have £90 to blow on theatre, you know? No. It's just not possible for a lot of people, because it's not just about the limited number. Like, it's a lot of it is about the money. And I feel like if they don't eventually film this, which is like what I've been asking for since this was announced, if they don't eventually film it like they do for national theater things and, you know, do like movie screenings and stuff, it will be, I will actually be furious at that point, because it's like goes against everything that this is supposed to be, you know, and putting it on tour exactly like you said. I agree with everything you said. I was just reading through your article, which I hadn't read before, and I totally agree with all of that too. So Selena in the comments can pipe down, because Selena in the article is right. And it's just, you know, it's not what it should be about, and it just makes me really sad. And I don't know if like she's kind of being deliberately obtuse in ignoring that, or like if she just doesn't get that it's not feasible for so many people. Like, a ticket to the cinema is even for a lot of people like still a luxury, you know, to like movie tickets are expensive now, but at least, you know, you can like save up and get there. But for a theater ticket, like you said, for a lot of people, that's just impossible.
And just to put it into perspective, like, for example, if this tours, I will see it with a touring cast. You're not even talking about on Broadway. This is like off Broadway in San Francisco. My ticket to this, because it's a hot commodity, is still going to be like upwards of $100 for nosebleed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And like, obviously, like if it like I would be if I had the means at the time, I would be happy to pay. But you're right. It is a luxury that a lot of people can't afford. And I think that she's putting a lot of emphasis on this 40 Friday ticket thing, but like everybody knows that like lotteries are not guaranteed tickets. And it's 40 tickets, and even lottery tickets can be expensive. Like I did a lottery for Newsies when I was living in New York in 2013, and my ticket was still $35. It's you're not talking like $10 tickets. Like, I mean, like when I first started getting into theater in San Francisco, you could still go to the theater for like, you know, $30-$40, but as theater has become more and more popular, it's just getting more and more expensive, and it's a business, like you guys have said. So it's too bad, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, it just, I don't know what, like, that's, again, it goes back to the whole keep the secrets thing. Like, the idea is nice, and it's great that we want to protect it for the people that get to see it, but it's just, it, I don't know, there's just something, the Harry Potter fandom should not be like this. You know, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on in the doc to something else that doesn't sit right with people for different reasons. Surprising everyone yesterday, or the day before yesterday even, NBC Universal announced that there'll be another Shrek movie. Surprise! So even though the last movie came out in 2010, apparently it's already time to either reboot or continue.
Oh, they're not going to reboot Shrek.
Because clearly Hollywood
are they
is going just to, desperate for
do
franchise.
A gender-flipped Shrek? Is that what we're going to do?
Yes. it's so funny because we were in... Where was I? I was... Where the hell? It must have been in London, and there was a Shrek store, or like the Shrek experience. And I was like, what the hell? Like, who cares about Shrek? And apparently it's like really big in like America. I don't know if you can speak to that, Pam, but so it is like a thing that people still want. But I'm just like, can we just leave it already?
So Shrek is like, there's a Shrek ride at NBC. I mean, not NBC, sorry, at Universal Studios in Hollywood. And then they have this whole little like Shrek interactive thing with the donkey. And like the last time I went out to the Grauman's Chinese Theater, like, which is where they have all the handprints and stuff like that, they had this massive Shrek statue outside of the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum there. But those are interchangeable. So I think that like, I don't know. I guess it is. I never just really realized the cultural impact Shrek had since it came out. But
yeah, me either.
But there you go. I mean, like, it would make sense for Universal. I think Universal is the production company, right? You said it would make sense for them to add more to this story just because they do have the ride in
they want
to
keep the money flowing.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, it's one of the first things you see when you walk into Universal Studios Hollywood. It's like right there. So if only to keep the hype up for that, I could see why they would want to expand on this.
And there are some people who are excited. You know, Seth Blackburn in the comments is down for more Shrek. So it's not all bad, but most people are like, what the heck? Like, this is the weirdest thing in the world. So I guess we'll see what comes of that.
Cool. Well, it would not be hype without some superhero news. So we'll take a quick detour for some. We have some Spider-Man Homecoming casting news, which is, you know, usually probably wouldn't be a very big story, but has people very excited. And that is because it's Donald Glover who's been added to the cast. And of course, there was that campaign a couple years ago for Donald for Spider-Man. And people were hoping, you know, maybe we'd get like someone who didn't look like a Andrew Garfield, but you know, we didn't and whatever. And now we have Tom Holland, who also looks like him, but I really liked him, so that's cool. But people are still very excited to see Donald Glover being included in the cast because you know, like, there was huge fan support for that campaign, and it kind of seems like a little nod to the fans, like, hey, we see you, and we don't know who he's playing or like what he's doing or anything, but we know he'll be there. So it's nice.
Well, I have a question for you guys, because they're keeping his role in secrecy, right? So do you guys think, because he is obviously, I mean, Donald Glover looks young, but he's not that young. Like, he definitely couldn't pull off a high school kid, I wouldn't assume. But I was thinking, I mean, is it completely unfeasible to think they might be setting up Miles Morales?
I feel like it is for him. Miles,
but okay.
Well, because the thing about Miles is that so much of his storyline is about him being younger than Peter and like Peter passing it down to him. And actually that was a lot of,
but they could be,
they, I mean, they could look, they could totally be changing it, but that was a lot of the discussion that happened actually around this campaign of people being like, yeah, I would totally love to see him as Spider-Man, but he can't be Miles. Like, he would have to be Peter because he's too old for Miles. And
but I was just thinking, like, if you consider, you know, the Captain America, the Bucky thing, like, Bucky's story was dependent on him being younger than Cap, and they changed that up.
No, they look, like that, they totally could, and that would be amazing. But I guess I don't put that much weight in them keeping the characters secret, because they usually keep them all pretty under wraps. Like, who was a recent example? Like, Martin Freeman's character in Civil War. Yeah. They were like, we can't tell you what he's doing. We can't tell you what he's doing. And, you know, like, he was in two scenes. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything. That said, if they could work out a way to do it, I've been campaigning for Miles to be Spider-Man forever. So I would love to see that. Personally, I would really like to see the like version of him from the comics, the younger version, but they've gone pretty young with Tom Holland. So
exactly. I was thinking you know, so it would maybe be hard to get
a face,
also,
I'm sure that fan fiction exists somewhere that like is reversed.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, and the only reason that I'm saying it is kind of, I've seen like a lot of people say, well, the fact that they're adding Donald Glover and as not Spider-Man, kind of feels like it's adding insult to injury in a way, which, like, I can definitely see that perspective too. And I was also just thinking, like, how are they gonna make these Spider-Man movies dynamic and interesting in the future when the awe factor of a young, funny Spider-Man wears off and we have to go through 3 high school films, you know? I mean, I was thinking it might be fun if Miles Morales was like an older sort of mentor type or like something like that. Like, and then they could set him up maybe to have future movies. Like, if the character fit, like, if people liked him, they might be like, oh yeah, we'll do a Miles solo movie one day and we'll get it in like 2025. Like, there's ways they could go with this.
Yeah, you know? I look, honestly, I don't think that's what he's going to be doing. I think they probably just wanted to include him as like a try to be nice to the fans, and yeah, you know, people can be like, oh, it's insult to injury, but like, he wouldn't have done it if he didn't want to do it. So, you know, I think we can calm down a little on that, but they haven't even released one film yet. They're doing a trilogy. Tom Holland was really well received in Civil War. I personally really liked him in Civil War. I felt like it was the first time, and I know a lot of reviews have said this, that it felt like it was the actual Spider-Man character from the comics. So although we have Spider-Man fatigue from the first trilogy and attempt at a second trilogy, neither of them were really that effective and didn't really capture the character all that well. So if they feel like they are onto something good with this, I don't think they're going to want to complicate that.
I didn't mean that it was in that way at all. I just mean, like, you know, like, I'm not saying it's going to impact Peter's story at all. I'm just saying in terms of having a dynamic, like, side cast, it might be an interesting character to include to sort of expand the world beyond high school while still keeping Peter in high school. Like, and that might be why.
No.
If he is, which is a totally, like, crazy theory anyway, because it's probably not true. But
I totally understand what you're saying. I think that although I agree it would be an interesting story move, I think the filmmakers would feel for an audience it would be like overcomplicating or whatever, because then you would then again have to deal with the issue that they've just managed to move past because Spider-Man was so well received of why are you doing Peter Parker again? Like, if you're going to put Miles in as a secondary character, why not just make the Miles films? You know what I mean? So I think they just dodge it by not doing it at all. But hey, if they do it, I would be the first person to be cheering them for it.
If I was doing it, that's what I would do, but you might be right.
You guys ready for some Disney news?
Please.
Absolutely.
Some Disney Pixar news. So we got the first official teaser trailer for Moana, which a lot of people seem to be excited about. And it's really, really cute. It actually was teased during the Tony Awards on Sunday. And then you were able to go online and watch the full length trailer, which introduces Dwayne Johnson's character Maui as this kind of like a deity that like lives in the Hawaiian Islands. And it's just a really, really fun trailer. I can't really like explain it very well, but he kind of goes through his like backstory and stuff like that. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Hercules with like the snark and the humor and the way that they kind of like showed like his story and stuff like that. But it looks really fun. And more importantly, people got really excited because of course Lin is doing the music for this, and he was heard singing in the background of the song that plays during the trailer. So all around seems to be some good positive feedback from this trailer. But I don't know if you guys have had a chance to watch it.
Yes. Oh my God. This looks so good. I'm very into this.
I love this. I mean, I wish we had, you know, maybe seen a little more of her and a little less of The Rock. Yeah. But like, that's cool. I get it. They're selling The Rock. I really love this. I feel like a weird affinity for this because it's set in like the like Pacific and, you know, whatever. And like, that's where my name's from and like, whatever. Yay. But,
oh, they should have called it Marima instead of Moana.
Why didn't they? I'm outraged. so close, guys. So close. No, I think this looks amazing. And yeah, everything we see of it just looks really, really fun and really exciting. And, you know, I hadn't thought of the Hercules thing, but as soon as you said that, that's totally what it reminded me of. So I completely agree.
Yeah, like the muses at the beginning, you know, with the, you get me.
Yeah, I loved Hercules. I love it. And that's so what this felt like.
I agree. I'm super into this. Very excited.
All right. Well, continuing the good news, although, I mean, I'm in two minds about this. We had some interesting casting news this week that I just insisted that we talk about. Helen Mirren is going to be in Fast and Furious 8, which makes me furious because now I'm going to have to watch Fast and Furious 8. I've been waiting to make that joke for like about 45 minutes. Look, I don't like the Fast and Furious movies. I know a lot of people are into them, but Helen Mirren obviously does because she did an interview a while ago where she was like, yeah, I would love to be in that. That would be great. And now she's announced that she's totally doing it. And she said she would only do it. Her one condition was that if her character, I guess, got to drive, that she would be allowed to do the driving. So I loved her in that really terrible movie about the like ex-spies that were like old and.
Oh, Red?
Yes, damn. Red. With like a machine gun. It was hilarious. And I love Helen Mirren, so I will now unfortunately have to watch this movie, but why the hell not?
That's hilarious. So continuing on the thread of exciting casting news, this is pretty funny. This is like two things that I'm not particularly interested in apart, but together it's like the best thing ever. So Supergirl has cast their Superman for season 2, and it's none other than Teen Wolf's Tyler Hoechlin, I want to say. That might be a total butchering of his name. You know who I'm talking about.
Is that how you say it?
I am just making a wild guess. How would you say it?
I guess that makes sense. I would yeah. say it like, I no, like I don't want to say. Yeah, that's what I would say Hoechlin. It too. Or, yeah.
Like okay.
Sorry, don't well, kill us, guys.
I don't watch Teen Wolf.
I'm going to make a wild stab and say Hoechlin.
Well, and if you get it wrong, come people after will me. Be Hoechlin.
Yeah. So funny. Okay. So anyway, this is actually I think this is great news. Like I know, and I you know Pam will probably have to say about this. Like some fans were hoping for someone else, but since it can't be him, I feel like it's a fun choice. It'll be fun to see him. Like Supergirl is obviously continuing on the CW. I'm gonna be tuning into season 2, even though I wasn't unfortunately a huge fan of season 1. And this is just such a great choice. Like, if they're going to include Superman, then why not get someone like this who's, like, already beloved by fandom? It's pretty fun.
This is hilarious. I did not... You broke this news to me. I did not know about this. I'm so behind. I haven't been on the internet for about 3 weeks. But I'm so behind on Supergirl. But I kind of like it. Although, I guess he's not in Teen Wolf anymore, I guess.
I don't know.
I assume he must not be. Otherwise, I don't know how he'd be able to film this, but I don't know how big the role is. I don't know. It's weird. You know, it's weird. It's weird casting, but I'm down for it. I kind of like it. And I kind of, I have never seen Teen Wolf, but like the vibe I get from him is that he could do the like very serious, but also the kind of dorky like stuff as well. So I hope this means that we're gonna see a Superman that's a little less serious than perhaps some of the ones that we have seen recently on like murderous rampages and et cetera, et cetera. Because especially like Clark Kent is kind of a dweeb, so that would be fun to see.
That's probably why I like him so much. That's so sad. I think that like, well, I'm a huge fan of Smallville. I watched that show religiously back when it was on. So obviously I was on the camp of hoping that maybe Tom Welling would come back, even though he didn't seem very interested. But I'm just excited to see what Tyler does with this, because it'll just be fun to see. I mean, anytime somebody dons the red cape, so to speak, it's always interesting to see their take on it. And I wish him all the best. I might have to catch up too.
Yeah. I'm like planning. Oh, whatever. I'm not even going to make a fake promise. Okay. One show I will definitely be watching, and
yes.
Very excited to be talking about this again because I'm obsessed with this guy. Patrick Ness, one of my favorite YA authors, as you know, is writing a Doctor Who spinoff. It's going to be super fun. It's like set at the school where Clara was teaching, and it's going to be like kids battling monsters in the world of Doctor Who. Yay. What could be better? Yes. Let me tell you what could be better. Patrick Ness is an out author, and he's very big on LGBT representation. He talks a lot about it. You know, there's always representation in his books, and people have been asking him, he says, if class will have this kinds of representation. And following the horrible events in Orlando, he made the announcement on Twitter that, yes, there will be a lead character who has a boyfriend who kisses and sleeps and loves his boyfriend, which we don't always see. You know, we might see the boyfriend there, but nothing else happens. Definitely sounds like we're going to see a full, total, complete relationship. He says, we were keeping that secret, but today that secret doesn't seem very important. And goes on to say, of course, there's more than one character on the show. There's lots of stories to be told with aliens and terror and emotions and stuff. But this is very exciting. So we can presume this is one of the boys in the photo that's been released of the cast. We don't know who yet. We don't know really anything else about this, but people are definitely very, very excited. And I am people. I am very excited.
You know, there's so many things to love about this. First of all, like, obviously Torchwood had a lot of LGBT representation too, which mm-hmm. is great because there hasn't really been a lot in Doctor Who itself. The fact that this is I'm reading The Rest of Us Just Live Here right now, actually, and I love it so far.
Are you liking it?
I am. I love it's that just book. Making me more excited. Yeah. This is making me more excited for class. And I'm I was so already glad you like they it. Had me they had me at Buffy and the overalls, like I already said, like I was sold. But this is just, and I just will say about the timing of his announcement is that made me just really happy, because as you guys may have seen, like I went on this huge rant in the Hypeable Facebook group about an article that I'm definitely gonna get around to writing once it's not such a sensitive time, because I feel like it's just so important. Like, we talk about representation all the time here, and people get sick of it, not Hypeable. They're like, oh my god, why do they have to put gays in everything? You know, that's like the standard reply, right? And it's just so important to normalize minorities. That's why we talk about representation. It's the whole point, is because we have to include minorities in stories that people enjoy, because they're just like, you know, that's the whole thing. Like, oh my god, they live in the world, they have relationships, they have stories, they have adventures, blah 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 blah. Like, it's just, it's so important. And the fact that he comes out with this relationship now, or this statement now, is just like, yes, great, good, please, more people do that. And like, even again, you're going back to, like, I don't know, the Harry Potter universe, it's always struck me as just outrageous that there isn't any LGBT representation. And no, I don't think Dumbledore counts, yeah. Because, you know, that was like a post
announcement,
you know, like, and yeah, like a footnote,
yeah,
that people can choose to ignore because it's not in the story, because he doesn't get to have a relationship or love or anything like that. So it just, seeing something like this for a series I was already excited about from an author that I'm quickly growing to like a lot, this just makes me so happy.
Yeah, and I follow him on Twitter, and I actually just wanted to read a couple more of his tweets, because I feel like that just gets to the point. He posted, I guess, a day or so after he'd made the announcement, and he says, kind of astounded that having a gay lead on class has been such a big news. One day won't be mm-hmm. one day soon, because it's not a big yeah. deal. One way to change the mm-hmm. world is to act as if it's already changed. That's how I roll. Mm-hmm. That's how class rolls. And then he says, except, of course, it is a big deal. I know. 15-year-old me never got to see himself. That won't happen again. Not on my watch. And, like, that made me so emotional when I read that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have such respect for Patrick Ness. Anyway, I've talked a lot on this podcast about how much I love him as an author, but also like things like this. And he had this huge fundraiser when there was like the refugee crisis happening, and like just mm-hmm. seems like an all around awesome dude. It's so nice. And if people were not going to check out this show before, hopefully this gives them another reason to do so. And like you said, Selena, it's really good to see this in like the already established world of Doctor Who, mm-hmm. because that's like really important to a lot of people as well. And it just shows like you can have proper representation in everything, and you should.
Exactly. And it's not a big deal. No. And it's not like, and that's the thing, like you can give people like characters to relate to and identify with, regardless of the fact that they're not the same race or gender or sexuality, etc., etc., as you. Like, you just need to have characters that resonate with people. I think it's, and I want more storytellers to start practicing what they're preaching, and I think just Patrick Ness is just rose a lot on my, you know, meter of people that I'm interested in supporting, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Great. So our final news story that we want to talk about is something I love. I think it was Merma gave me the story before I'd even gone to the dock. Like, it's just so perfect. So Nintendo at E3, a lot of news came out for the gaming world at E3 2016. But the biggest story for me and for a lot of people was that Nintendo has finally released a new trailer for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is the official title. It's a bit of a weird title, but whatever. It is so beautiful. Like, it is just it's not, you know, because I'm playing, as you guys know, I'm playing Fallout now when I edit the Hype podcast, and that's all like super realistic and stuff. This isn't like super realistic necessarily, but it sort of combines the abstractness of Skyward Sword with some of the breathy eeriness of Twilight Princess. And it's obviously, you can see that the effect of the DS designs is there as well. There's some familiar locations to people. The fact that this is a huge world that they're setting this game in is just it's just astounding. Like, we knew it, but just to see it, just to see how massive the planes of this new Zelda game are, and how many sort of familiar yet updated places you'll get to travel to, and knowing the fact that unlike previous Zelda games, this isn't going to be, the storyline isn't going to be set, so you can sort of have a bit more of an open world experience. Oh my god, you guys. I am just so excited. I don't know if either of you share my excitement for this or if I'm literally just alone.
Well, I just watched, as you were talking, I just watched the trailer on mute, and I don't kick me off hype, Selena, but I haven't played a Zelda game since Nintendo 64. So I was,
well, that
like,
was the best one anyways.
I was fine. Like, wow, the graphics have improved a lot. But you know, it's weird watching this. I just like remember playing that N64 game and like getting that same feeling, and it kind of made me want to play it again, but like I would have to buy a console and like everything. But I don't know, it just because I haven't played any of the ones in between. I know there's been like some people have not liked them all so much, and some people have, but yeah, I don't know, I just felt like it kind of just captured that feeling I used to get when I played that. And I've seen people freaking out about this, and I love that. I love how people are so excited about this.
Yeah, me too. I love it too, and that's the thing. And because I remember the feeling of playing that Ocarina of Time and the N64 too, like just going, like the music and going on the horse and feeling like, you know, you were riding across the plains of the fields of,
oh my god,
of
the horse, yes, yes.
Yeah, and like that feeling that the world was endless, even though obviously it was very small by normal standards back then, it was a huge world that you got to explore. Just knowing that you can do that now again, but bigger and better and more beautiful, and I mean, obviously we're still hoping. Because I know I was excited too when Order of the Phoenix came out on the Wii, because I was like, oh my god, finally like an open world type Harry Potter game, you get to explore Hogwarts. And it was just the most boring.
Yeah, there's nothing to
do. Ridiculous. No, it was just like you had to go around and like play Exploding Snap with people.
Yeah.
And move chairs, and that was about all you could do. So no, I mean, obviously the story and the stuff you have to do needs to be good too, but I have high hopes. I am very, very excited, and it's coming out next year, probably launching with the NX and maybe available for Wii U. My brother doesn't have a Wii U, so I'm gonna need to talk him into wanting that for Christmas.
There you go.
I'm gonna get it for myself. I might have to. Oh my god, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So very, very, very exciting news from for that front. And we also just want to mention a couple of stories we didn't have time to talk about this week, which are Larry David has confirmed that there is a Curb Your Enthusiasm season 9, like years and years after the show ended, which is very exciting. Nicholas Sparks has shut down his production company. Very interesting news from that front. And Orphan Black has been renewed for a fifth and final season. And if Kyle was here, he would be talking about it. But unfortunately, he is not. Maybe he'll talk about it next week. Moving into TV show of the week. We all have different shows. And I want... Oh, Miriam, I wish I had caught up with it. But I haven't had time. But let's hear. What did you think?
Have you watched the first episode at least?
No, I have not.
Oh, Selena. Oh, my God.
I have been busy.
Okay. Unreal is back, guys. I am very excited. Season one was amazing, so I had very high hopes. The season two opener was phenomenal. It was everything I wanted. I am still so obsessed with this, like, weird, just crazy, bizarre, like, complicated, terrible dynamic between Rachel and Quinn. I still want to be Quinn. Like, she is still just the best person I've ever, like, the worst but best person I've ever, you know, come across on television. I think a lot of people were concerned that season two would be maybe more of the same, but they made a huge effort in even the opener to show what they're going to do differently this season, which I think was a really good idea. And they definitely built on that in the second episode. So I've watched the first two. I don't want to spoil people, but... You know, they're dealing with a lot of the same kinds of issues, but they're also dealing with a lot of different issues. As obviously they're dealing more explicitly with racial issues this season because they have a black suitor, as we knew, and also the conflict on the show between the producers and things are different. Like, the power dynamics are different, which is really, really interesting. And I'm just so excited to see where this goes. Such a smart, like relentless, kind of unforgiving show. And they did not pull back even a tiny little bit for season two, which was amazing. And I'm so excited for it. And it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to hear that. I'm so excited to watch Unreal. I just was going to watch it yesterday, but then I got caught into a Game of Thrones web and I couldn't get out.
Yeah, I was going to say, does this mean you're up to date with Game of Thrones?
This means, yeah, I'm up to date.
So am I.
Oh my God. Wow. Yay. How exciting. With
this
two
never
happens.
To
go.
I'm so happy.
I know. Are you up to date?
Yeah, I'm up to date on both of your guys' shows this week.
What?
I've been up to date.
Oh, wait.
Do you want to say something about Unreal before I talk about Game of Thrones?
Oh my God, Unreal is so good. But also, side note, it's for my other job, I had to watch a couple of episodes of The Bachelorette. And now after watching Unreal, because I had never seen any of like the Bachelor shows, like all I'm doing now is thinking about all the stuff that I've seen in Unreal. And I feel like I understand like what they're doing now. And it's like, oh my God, it's the weirdest way to like to kind of go back to it now. Because those shows,
but I love it. That's like my favorite thing. I mean, I love the characters and stuff, but I just love them taking down this stupid reality show format that I hate and so fake. And I've said this for years, and finally Unreal came along and like vindicated me, and I was just so excited.
But it was vindicating too, because I had, like I said, I had never really like invested any time in, like, obviously everybody knows how The Bachelor and The Bachelorette work. But I just like never sat down and like watched any of it. And so then when I was forced to, it was like so much more eye-opening coming off of Unreal, where it's like they speak the truth over here. Mm-hmm. And now over here, you totally understand what they're doing. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Unreal's off to a great start.
That meta aspect as well that I know you really like, that's totally there still as well. Like that's completely preserved in season two. So it's like everything and more. So good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So yeah, Game of Thrones. It's so funny because a couple of weeks ago, right before I left for Cursed Child, or like a little bit before that, I was like, I'm gonna catch up on Game of Thrones, and I watched like 5 episodes, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of exciting, and then I immediately fell behind, and I just caught up again yesterday, so I had like a binge. I feel like it's very satisfying to binge. Like, I don't know if you agree, Merima, but like, if I'd been watching this week by week, like, I might have been not as enjoying it as much as getting to go, like, continue, because obviously, as everyone has said, like, this season is a lot more fast-paced and answers a lot more questions and gives you a lot more, like, TV show moments than the previous seasons have done, and it's just nice to be able to go and see immediately what happens next, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I did that a couple weeks ago when I think I talked about it on Hype. It, like, sucked me back in. I saw everyone writing about it, and I was like, damn it, now I have to watch it. And, and yeah, it is a really satisfying show to binge. And I feel like binging also helps when you're less invested in it as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It works both ways. You're either super invested in it and so you can't stop watching it, or you're less invested and you're like, oh yeah, like, let's keep going. And you don't really want to think about it, because if you had to stop every week, you probably wouldn't come back. But there is a lot of stuff that I've really enjoyed this season. And the binging helps cut out the stuff that you're less excited about, because you can kind of gloss over it in the haze that you enter when you binge watch something.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I'm just... like, and it's because when we talked about, like, a couple of weeks ago, that I don't, like, I'm very, very sad that a lot of this new information is coming from the show and not from George R. R. Martin. But I do enjoy some of the stuff. I do feel like some of it is a little bit too, because I'm so used to Game of Thrones just breaking all the normal rules of storytelling where you don't get those, like, fist pump moments. I feel like there's been a few too many fist bump moments this year.
Yeah.
Like, as a just an overall commentary, but I do enjoy the fist pump moment, so I don't mind the fact that they're there. Just, it feels very different from previous seasons, and that's both, I think, good and bad. But I'm enjoying seeing all the characters come together and meet up and stuff, because it was getting 5 seasons of them not, like, almost meeting but never meeting was getting tiring for me. So I'm very glad we're getting it all, even though it's happening really fast. Like, Sansa and Jon's reunion was amazing. And obviously, I mean, last season we just had Jaime and Brienne. And I was like, oh my god, my ship is alive.
Even when he's like, I'll murder everyone to get back to Cersei, you're like, but he means Brienne, though.
And he was like, she was like giving him the sword, and he was like, it's always been yours, or whatever the hell, like, romantic.
That's
crap.
Exactly what, like, happened. And then he waves at her when she's like going away.
His little sad wave.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's an interesting thing you say. I wonder if it's just that those kinds of moments that we haven't been seeing are happening more for the characters we, like, as an audience, probably are rooting for this season. Like, it's kind of come full circle, or like it's at least cycling through, like, you know, for a really long time, like, the Lannisters were on top, and, you know, there was, like, all of these moments, and they kind of still did have those moments, but it didn't feel as satisfying for the audience, because, well, maybe for some people it did, but for me, I'd be like, oh, but I hate those guys. So now I feel like more of those moments, like the Starks getting more of those moments. And, and you know, we all secretly want the Starks to, obviously, not secretly, we all want the Starks to win. Yeah. And come back with, like, like, who's left now? Like, 2 dire wolves? So sad.
I know. I'm so annoyed by how quickly they're killing, like, how inconsequential the dire wolves are proving to be. Like, that's, like, my main disappointment with the series. I'm like, I feel so let down.
Yeah, and HBO sell those as toys, I'm pretty sure, which is just mean at this point.
Yeah.
That's just really sticking the knife in. But, you know, I think I don't know how much I'm going to care about the next episode, because, like, those big battle episodes are usually a less interest in me. And also, I just really hate Ramsay, like, so much, to the point where I really struggle to watch him on the screen at this point. So
can it just be, like, Misfits? It's really
Can it just be Sansa? Like, I just want to watch her.
I know.
Sansa.
I know, and that's the thing. Sansa's story has been so satisfying.
Yeah.
It's been so amazing to watch. I'm just like, because now we're coming up on the season finale, and I know someone's going to die. Like, people are, like, predicting that maybe, like, Cersei and Jaime will die, or maybe, like, Jon Snow's not going to die again, but maybe, like,
if Sansa dies, I will actually quit the show. I will quit.
Yeah, like at this point, they're all saying, because that's the thing. Like, there've been too many hero moments. Like, Game of Thrones doesn't do hero moments like that. So you're all sort of waiting for it to blow up in their face, because that's like the Game of Thrones way, right? So I'm just like dreading that now. It's been too good.
Don't you think that Jon has really had most of those hero moments?
What do you mean?
Yes, I agree. There's been too many hero moments. So usually when a character gets that many, that means, oh, time to go. But I feel like, in a way, the stakes have sort of dropped a little for me, because I feel like since Jon came back, he's been the one who's had all of those moments, and they're not going to kill him again. So
that's true. I feel like I just mean like for the character, like our heroes, the good guys are getting too many lucky breaks.
I get what you mean.
You know, they're not like, if this had been season three, like if this has been like a George R. R. Martin story, like when Arya had almost made her escape, she would have been cut down and died, or like, you know, Jaime would have stood on the wall and then someone would have pushed him off, like, you know, like it I don't know, that was
he would have stood on the wall and someone would have shot Brienne, the end.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and I feel like, I mean, obviously we had that horrible thing with the nice priest. And I was, like, still so mad about that. I was like, you just can't have nice things in Game of Thrones. But it just kind of also reminded me that our heroes are actually allowed to have nice things. And I don't think that's going to continue. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, up to date at last and really enjoying it. It's a great experience, you know, if you disregard the fact that it kind of, you know, ruins the books. So, yeah. Pam, what do you have?
So I've been watching Mr. Robot, which of course came out a while ago, but I'm just kind of getting around to it. And it's really, really good. It totally lives up to the hype. For those of you that don't know what it's about, it actually airs on USA, and it stars a antisocial computer programmer named Elliot, and he works at a cybersecurity firm, gets recruited by this underground hacking organization that wants his help bringing down corporate America. And so it kind of just goes from there. And it's just like so riveting. Like, it's one of those shows where I just can't look away. I don't know. It just kind of hooked me from like the first few minutes. And I'm about 4 episodes in now, and there's only about 10 episodes in the first season. So gonna power through those, and then it starts back up in July. So sounds like I started up just in time. But yeah, it's really good. I don't know if you guys have checked it out, but I really like it.
No, it's on my list. I'm glad to hear you like it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so wrapping up the show now with some listener comments. We have a couple of comments from Hypable and some tweets, and we're gonna start off with Hypable comments. So let's take this first one, Merima, if you want to get that.
Sure, this is from Jess Bactus, who says, I love the idea of Tom Welling playing Clark Kent in Supergirl, but unfortunately the canon wouldn't match up. Clark's cousin Kara becomes a major character in Smallville when her spaceship lands on Earth. Since Smallville already had its own Kara, it would be a huge continuity issue. But fun fact, Smallville's Kara was played by Laura Vandervoort? I don't know. Sorry, I apologize. Who made a pretty big cameo in Supergirl as the villain Indigo. Oh, spoilers. I haven't watched it. That's my bad. If Tom Welling can't play Superman for continuity reasons, I'd love for him to make a fun cameo in the exact same way. Oh, edit. Due to the announcement of Tyler Hoechlin getting the role, I have to add, I'm so, so excited. Huge Teen Wolf fan here. So this is great news to me. I feel like I like the cameo idea. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, it wouldn't, I mean, I get what she's saying with the continuity, but they could sort of just pretend. I don't know.
Yeah.
It will be fun, but I agree with her. And it's good that she's excited about Tyler H.
Yes. About Derek.
Yeah. So Natalia has another comment, short one, for last week, which is obviously Pam and Kristen were joined by Mikey Butchero, who also hosts Resistance Radio. So she says, I'm loving Mikey's commentaries on everything. I'd never heard him before, but yes, have him on more because he likes all the things I like. I listened to that episode and it was so much fun.
Yeah, he was great. He also, like, I think some people might know him from his days on MuggleCast, which I had forgotten that he was on until he reminded me. And I was like, oh yeah, Andrew talks about him all the time. But he was a great addition and he's like, basically loves all the things that we do. So it was nice to get a male perspective. I know some people missed that on here, even though we're all about the girl power. So yeah, we'd love to have him back on at some point.
Absolutely. And yeah, I assume that the audio issues got fixed.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And if not, just like, let us know. I don't know what happened in the compression, but it was definitely not like that when I sent it over. So that was kind of sad.
No, I was like, they're so rude, just interrupting each other.
I know. No.
To be fair, we do that.
But we fix it all in editing so they don't hear it.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
yeah, exactly. But this is like literally Kristen and Mikey spoke over each other for 5 minutes. And I was like, what?
I know. The good thing is that it didn't go past that. But something happened at the beginning of the show that was like, what happened?
That Mikey, what a jerk.
I know.
I didn't even let him speak. I was so mad. So yeah, sorry about that. But great show. You should all listen to it if you haven't yet. And moving into tweets now, Pam, if you want to get there. Well, actually, I'll just do the first couple are from the Cursed Child one. So Fernando Alvarez says, loved it. Thanks for keeping it spoiler free. Really intrigued by your reactions. Can't wait to see it next month. So he actually gets to see it. And Megan asks us to post a spoiler filled podcast if we feel comfortable. She said, we would love to hear your thoughts. This is actually something that I would like your thoughts on, because we're doing this poll. Like, obviously MuggleCast already released their spoiler podcast. We're gonna record ours probably next week while it's still fresh in our minds, but I'm like not sure whether we should release it or not. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
well, what's the issue?
Just, you know, the whole spoiler thing.
If it says in the title it's a spoiler podcast, like, once again, you're not, this is the thing I don't understand, everyone being like, oh, how dare you spoil me. It's like, you clicked on the link that said spoilers and then read the article that had a spoiler warning on it. At this point, it's your responsibility.
Right. Yeah,
I think you guys have already, you did a really nice thing for fans, a really good thing, by keeping them in totally separate podcasts rather than doing it in one, so people can listen to one or the other without having to worry at all. And I think people really appreciate that. So yeah, I think there are a lot of fans who like would really like to hear probably a more in-depth discussion than maybe what they've read on Twitter or Tumblr. So, and then there's also it means once you post it, there'll be a place where people can like continue the conversation in the comments and without having to worry about, like, obviously on Twitter, we're not going to be replying to like spoiler things or posting about spoilers on our Twitter. But, you know, if people want to talk about it, then there's a place for them to do that as well. I feel like that's totally fine.
Okay. It's settled. We're going to do it. I just wasn't sure. I'm really unclear about the etiquette on this, but I'm definitely going to listen to the fans and not Joe, because...
Right. Yeah.
Well, also, the fans that matter, so. You know, it's the same as like, I feel like it's the same as friends having an email chain or, you know, a certain closed Facebook group where you're keeping the spoilers contained. So why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're putting it out there for people that want them.
Okay, then. Great. That's settled. Yay! Exciting. So if Pam, Marima, and Pam, you just want to take the last three.
Okay. Jewel says, summary of my Hamilton week. Monday, my first listen. Tuesday, watched the Tonys. Wednesday, watched the show. Thursday, at Hypeable Hype special and filming announced. Jewel, that sounds like an amazing week. you win.
That is amazing. Laura says, would you guys ever do Fs for Dollhouse like you do for Gilmore Girls? That's an exclamation point.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, have we all watched Dollhouse?
Pam, have
you
seen it?
Pam can be the newbie.
The newbie.
Yes,
and then when we do Roswell, I could be the newbie.
Yay! Perfect.
Yes, I love Dollhouse. Actually,
me too. Like,
Selena and I think have been campaigning for Dollhouse on Rewatchable for a while.
So yeah, we have.
You know, we're just gonna do ample opportunity.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Roswell. So it's fair
Yeah, true that.
game.
True that.
And isn't Dollhouse only one season? It's very short,
Two
right? Two seasons?
seasons. Two
No,
seasons,
two.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which will be good for us because, then we only have to do two podcasts.
Yeah,
And three for
exactly.
Roswell.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Gilmore Girls continues, and we will let you know when we're recording the third one.
That's right.
Yes, we will. I'm not as quick as watching it this time as I
It'll
was,
be
so
I think it'll be like in the next month. Yeah.
That's fair.
We'll let you know on Twitter. There's been some Selena's been traveling. We've had some things going on, but we're getting back to it. We promise.
Yes.
Lady Ash replied back when we wished everybody a happy National National Friends Day, and said her favorite fandom BFFs are Aang, Katara, Sokka, and Toph, and sometimes Zuko are my favorite fandom friend group. And she sent a picture, so that was really
You
nice.
guys are my favorite fandom friend group.
Oh, you guys are mine too.
Selena's
Yeah,
like,
mine is the Buffy ones, but you guys come in second.
yeah, she's she's over there being all courteous and like
Selena's like,
I like my
no.
mind immediately went to
She's
Buffy's, and
like,
now I just
Buffy.
feel bad.
Oh, and you too.
What, wait, who would your fictional one be, Pam? Like,
Well,
I feel like
I think
I'm
I.
team Marauders.
Okay, yeah,
Oh, that's
that's
cute.
actually that's what I wanted to do because I tweeted this out, but I couldn't find like a Marauder. I don't like the Marauder casting for Order of the Phoenix.
No.
I made
Ugh.
the
Some fan
trio,
art on that.
but exactly. And then I realized that I missed a prime opportunity because on our Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, we have this really cute Marauder fan art that I
Oh,
should
I
have posted.
saw that.
It's
Oh,
really
guys,
cute,
we are killing it
but
at Tumblr, PS.
we are. And you
We
know
are.
what? It's an amazing feat considering we're all kind of like Tumblr noobs. So
Yeah. Also, we're like answering questions and stuff. So if you want to know things about anything, you can ask us on Tumblr. We've been answering questions about you guys have been answering lots of fun questions about your sort of quasi Merlin specials. So that's been fun. That's a thing we do over there.
And you know what the best thing is that if you're super embarrassed by your question, which I don't know why you would be, but if you are, you can be like anonymous and we'll never know who asked. So that's fine too.
Exactly.
We'll take it however we can get it, basically. You want to come in and wrap with us?
Wait, Pam, what was your answer? And then we're
Oh,
leaving.
I'm fine with the Marauders. I feel like I
What?
tweeted this, so
Pay your
yeah, that would
own
be. Hey, I'm the one that tweeted this out. I started with my Harry Potter business.
Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Harry Potter is the good default. Friends to the end.
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
Excellent.
Literally for them, because the Marauders are all dead.
Hey.
Just to end on a happy note.
Oh, fun. Well, you guys should really come join us on Tumblr because it is just a lot of fun over there, and you can see all the stuff that we reblog. And I basically like my interaction with Tumblr is every once in a while I'll post something like a podcast, and otherwise I'll just reblog and post stupid hashtags. That's like my Tumblr
Yeah,
approach.
I like commenting on things in the hashtags. That's a lot of
Yeah.
fun.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah. It
I
is. It is a lot of. It's like we're like in 2012. Like,
know.
oh
Oh
my God, isn't the hashtags fun?
my God, hashtags. So fun. Yeah,
You get the
we're
five good
yeah,
ones
so
out of the
good.
way, and then you get to comment on everything you want.
We're like vintage Tumblr.
We
We're
I
like
know. No,
a
people still do
retro
that.
Tumblr when it started.
People still do that. I've noticed.
It's a fun times. Yeah, we have a good time over
So
there.
much fun. Okay, so the rest of our contact information, just to wrap up the show, you can find us, of course, on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. You can email us, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype, and of course, Twitter at hypeablehype. So please do get in contact with us, and we might include your comments on next week's show. So we have one more exciting special coming up this week. It's been a very busy week for us, and the next week we'll probably be back to some kind of normal, and we'll let you guys know about the Gilmore Girls and the Cursed Child spoiler edition and all of that fun stuff. And you can, of course, keep up with that on Twitter and on Hypebeable and stuff like that. And I think that's everything. So thanks for listening, and it was a fun show with just us girls today. Very much fun, and we will talk to you next week. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Arama.
Peace.
Peace.
You're just too cool for the rest of us. Yeah.